You know, the biggest thing, I just started lately. I didn't even do an introduction. I said, hey, you know what? We're recording. Let's talk. And, you know, welcome to the show. I like the pre-interviews. We get to like just say, hey, you know what? Are we going to go all out and just, you know, say, hey, this is the reality? Or are we just going to have a fluff? And there is no fluff in this conversation. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me.
You know, you brought up a hell of a point. And then the email that I got from the publicist or whoever put us in contact was like, hey, you know what? There's issues of transition, man. And the biggest issue is not having that damn mission when you go. You have a mission while you're in. Hey, you know, you got to get up. Your mission of the day is go clean a motor pool. That's a mission. You know, when you're overseas, your mission is either to go outside the wire, stay inside the wire, do something. You got a mission. But when you get out, you get your 2 weeks of taps or whatever, and you're out. There is no mission. There is no brotherhood. There's no sisterhood. There's no nothing. And you were like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about this all day, get into what the organization I work with, does, but I'll take you even one further in that vein. And I'll talk about transition being inadequately and poorly defined. And I think that that's the root of the problem. Institutionally, I believe that the word transition typically refers to, let's say, a 90-day, max 6-month process where service member says, hey, I'm done. I'd like to get out. They start the SFL TAP or the TAPS process. They spend X amount of months, unfortunately, kind of being redefined in the lens of their leadership and losing a lot of value right there. So it starts a domino effect. But that transition process starts with, I'm getting out. You get out, and then you find your first job. And there, transition complete. And that's how they treat transition in the uniformed services. And I think that that's the root of the problem. I believe that transition actually starts when you raise your right hand and you accept the mission of adopting a new identity. And from there on, for the rest of your life, depending on the commitment level you had to the uniform you wore and the flag that you represent, you spend the rest of your life having to decide in any given moment, are you, in my case, Sergeant Johnson or are you Harrison Johnson? And that's a lifelong struggle that we are not prepared for. And, you know, the transition programs, I don't think are at fault. I think that they're just targeting the wrong point in a career. And if we start having that conversation with young soldiers, privates, and all of the formations, and we prepare them for what I call the one inevitability of service, and that is that in some way, somehow that service will end. And if we're not preparing for that transition from day one, then we're setting ourselves up for inevitable failure.
You know, that is an excellent point. I never even thought about it because, you know what, the whole transformation, because before there was, you know, whatever I am nowadays, Special Agent mm-hmm. Piccolo or Captain Piccolo or Private Piccolo back in the day, there was Jason Piccolo. Yeah. And that dude back then in 1993 was completely different than he was after he put on a uniform and everything yeah. else. So you're right. And that bookmark of your career is either going to be, you know, hey, what training, maybe an injury in training, you get out, or maybe you retire out of the service, but that is just one point of your life, but it's a big point, but you have to have a transition point. You have to transition from when you completely molded yourself into a soldier, warrior, whatever, into a civilian. And what do you do next? Where do you go before you fall into that black hole of nothingness where all I had was that identity that was the before, the middle, and the after, but there's nothing left.
Yeah. And I think that what you're saying is that, you know, that's indicative of the inadequate definition. You know, when you are asked as a young 18 to 24 year old service member to adopt an entirely new, unfamiliar personality that in contrast is crazy and different from the one that up until that point you've tried to perfect. Most of us at that point probably failed at defining the identity we were trying to adopt, but we get handed abruptly. You know, I spent a few years as a drill sergeant, so it was definitely abrupt. But you get abruptly handed a new identity and said, this is your way of life. This is your identity. If you do this, you know, right place, right time, right uniform, right attitude, you don't have anything you need to worry about. You'll be good, private. And that's where the problem starts, because you're told that your value and your worth revolve around that new identity. So when that uniform, both literally and figuratively, are removed from your life because of that inevitability of ETS, that black hole is created because you were never told that it isn't an identity. It is a skill set. You know, I talk a lot about, as veterans, the guys and girls that have the hardest time transitioning are the ones that primarily, as a civilian, primarily identify as a veteran. We aren't entitled to anything. We volunteered in most cases, but we're better civilians because we are veterans. And then once we look at that, this our service and all of the tools and amazing experiences we had and this new skill set, as long as we look at it as a skill set, in addition to being a competent, impactful civilian, then we start erasing that void or that black hole you talk about, because we're actually just filling it with an entirely new set of skills that, you know, if you want to give numbers to it, you know, we're the one percenters, like only 1% of the population gets to do what we did. And to look at that as a black hole, or, you know, look at ourselves as less than worthy of being an impactful civilian because of that skill set, that's where we go wrong. And that's, you know, unfortunately where the transition programs go wrong.
But you brought something up before, I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was like that transition point. I do a lot of mentoring event, veteran resume reviews and everything for a bunch of different people. And it's always that progressive, responsible experience. And I'm like, no, you've done so much more than maintained a vehicle or maintained a weapon or shot expert. It doesn't, there's so much that you've done that it shouldn't, you should look at those are everything is transferable skill set. Yeah. Whether you had, you know, you got out of 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, you still have such a massive skill set. Don't think of it as you're over. Think about it as like, man, I have a graduate level education and suck. And sometimes, and sometimes when you put a veteran up or the prior service person up against a civilian and having, I don't care, like you said, you were a drill sergeant, that shock and awe. Not many civilians have ever experienced the shock and awe of what it's like to be in the service, or just being in the suck, or being out in the field and it's raining and you're miserable and you're around a bunch of different people and you become a leader, or you find something else inside you. That's transferable skills.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most valuable skills in my mind that I would like to think I got as close to perfecting anything as possible in the military was finding my limit and realizing that only one person can define that limit, and that's yourself. Mm-hmm. And in the military, as opposed to any other job field, you're forced to break through that limit, and then you find your next limit and you push through that and you realize, like, I'm truly limitless. And you know, in response, or in, you know, in the vein of your resume mentoring, you know, I think that there is a real simple break in communications going on. You got two demographics. You got the civilian world and the service members, and you've got service members that spent sometimes decades of their life being defined by an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, a records brief, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's never a question in the military. Private Johnson goes to Sergeant Piccolo and says, "Hey, Sarge," and they're like, "Show me your ERB." Okay. You know, they don't want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. Everything you are is on that piece of paper. You don't have to question that. And then you get out, and at no point did someone take that ERB, that 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and say, "No, Drill Sergeant Johnson, you are not simply, you know, XYZ and all of those military isms. You are so much more than that. This is how you say, I was a drill sergeant responsible for over 1,500 lives of entry-level employees, the health, welfare, equipment management, time, schedule, logistics, money. I mean, the list can go on forever, especially once you get into leadership positions. Mm-hmm. How do you take that and translate it into words that civilian employers not only understand, but value? Because they can take that and put it in contrast to an equal level employee in their organization. And once mm-hmm. we can bridge that gap by truly translating the value and worth of a soldier into words that our counterparts will understand, then we've bridged that gap. And then from there, it's just turning it into a lifelong process rather than a 60-day process at the end of your service, where really anyone in the TAPS office is concerned about one thing, and that's getting out of Dodge.
Yeah.
So it's hard for anything. Exactly, to really man. Stick.
That is the truth. You brought up some good thing about the language. I've been in law enforcement for 20 something years. And in the beginning, when you wrote a report, it was so technical. It was so A, B, C, D. And even when you got on the radio, it was like, you know, 1080, 24, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, use your words. People want to hear your words. Hey, there's a guy running down the road. There's not like a 1025 doing a blah, blah, blah. But that's the same thing when you write reports, use your words. And it's like, you have to like use real words, man, because not everybody knows the lingo. And that's the thing is like, there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place where it's, hey, you know what? Move. But there's a time and a place where it's like, hey, you know what? Take this, this is not, do that. But man, you're right.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, my ETS date was February 2020. So on side note, like super excited. I get freedom. I'm walking into the free world. No more uniform. Boom. COVID. No freedom whatsoever. Man. But I had the fortunate opportunity to take my passion for all the things I've talked about. And I don't believe in coincidence whatsoever. I believe that people that are purpose-driven have ethos, follow values, and put out positive energy in this world attract other people of like mind.
Yeah.
And you know that like-minded concept is why the veteran population bond. Like, look at us. Mm-hmm. We never met each other, but you and I could shoot back and forth with each other forever. It doesn't matter.
I know. That's one thing I love about the show is like having it. This is my transition. It took me, you know, 15 years after the war, 10 years after the war, whatever, to find it. But finding that transition point, finding where I can just have conversations and not be defined. FitOps is doing incredible things, man. And, you know, I had Matt on a while, man. It's been a while. But that's what I like about it. It's like different because, you know, PT, man, it's your life born. Unless you're on a profile or something, your military, that one part of your day is always defined as some sort of physical effort.
Right.
And using that and getting it into like getting the skill set to go out there and you know, have some sort of purpose. I dig it, man.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. I mean, I found my calling through a long narrative of suicide that surrounded me. I never struggled with it personally. I struggle with my story myself, but from my grandfather to best friends from high school to team leaders to, you know, platoon mates, culminating at the end of my service with a mentor, Command Sergeant Major, taking his own life. And I sat back and I was like, why is no one talking about this? So I set my mind to it. I was going to get out. As we all know, change doesn't happen from within the uniform. No. If you want to make a difference, if you want to make a splash, put on a different outfit. So I put on a different outfit. I made it my life mission to find programs that understood what I was talking about and was fortunate enough to run into Matt Hesse through a career military connection. And I found out what he was doing. And I felt like, man, I have this vision. I didn't necessarily have the vehicle, but Matt Hesse did. He had the same vision, and we brought our minds together and we focused on the purpose and where our hearts lay. And, you know, I helped him move FitOps into what's now a permanent campus with over 500 acres and a headquartered national training center in Bentonville, Arkansas. And, you know, what we do, you know, our core mission, Commander's Intent, is to to provide veterans with the opportunity to be empowered through the power of fitness, community, health, wellness, and a holistic approach to wellness. And you know, you talk about PT. you know, our 3 week long certification camp where we bring veterans in from across the country to sit left and right of each other and grow together. You know, we took all of the best parts of the military. We stripped down all of the negativity. We stripped down all of the blinders, all of the stuff that leaves bad tastes in your mouth. And the reason why you get, once you get to tap, you're just like, I'm out. I don't want any of that. We took all of the bad, kept all of the good. And the great thing is that injecting that back into a veteran's life immediately reminds them of why they thrived so much while in uniform. And sometimes that will never happen again naturally in a veteran's life. They'll slide into a new position, a new career, or they'll slide into that black hole where they start struggling with mental health, alcohol, substance abuse, and just simple depression, because they are not surrounded by people that they are confident understand the struggles and the trauma that they've endured and now have to deal with. There's a lot of stigma and a lot of stereotyping going on in the veteran community, but the biggest problem is that we can't look left and right and feel comfortable that the people around us will understand us anymore. So FitOps is building a massive community using the language of fitness, wellness, and mental health and a holistic approach to doing so, but also by educating them in all of these things, we're giving them an opportunity to step back into a career field that we have certified them in and find impactful employment and build their own communities back home around all of these ethos and structure that we've provided. It's a beautiful thing.
You brought up the ETS in your transition. Mm-hmm. What was your plan? Did you have a plan, or did just like when you got out, you had to make a plan?
Mm-mm. No, I have a wife and two kids, and you know, when you're in service, it is the absolute easiest yet selfish thing you can do to just keep signing that dotted line. You got your paycheck. You know what you're doing, 6 a.m. formation. I'm going to knock out some PT, and then I'm going to go run my head into a wall for the next 8 or 9 hours, and I'm going to rest and recycle and do it all again the next day. But you're confident that you know what you're going to do every day for 20 years, 30 years, 35 years in some cases. It's terrifying to get out. But I decided when, you know, I got DA selected for drill sergeant orders, or I would have probably stepped out a wee bit earlier, but I was excited. You know, I was an infantryman. I'm going to go be a drill sergeant. Hopefully I can make an impact in this new generation of soldiers and, you know, reinvigorate my excitement and purpose in uniform. And I just continued to struggle. I continued to close myself farther and farther off. And I decided to get out. And truthfully, probably would have chickened out. But once I saw the light in my wife's eyes, who had never complained a day in her life, the hope in her eyes, when I said I was getting out, I couldn't go back on that, you know? But I made a plan. I actually secured a internship through a SkillsBridge program in the TAP office as the governor of Arkansas's first military intern, with the direct mission, as I pitched it to him, to find, develop, and build veteran support programs in the state of Arkansas. Awesome. And I was honestly like, that's my plan. I'm going to figure it out. Let's do it live. And had no freaking clue what I was getting myself into. But then I get a call. And it's my buddy who was he was my PO when I was a platoon sergeant. And he was, after he transitioned, the executive director of the FitOps Foundation. And he's moved on to other things, but I absorbed this entire mission and I made it my life's goal to do exactly what I set out to do, but to do it for FitOps and the family that's been created around Matt Hesse's mission and purpose. And it's just been the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Would you have any advice? You know, you're very mission oriented, but let's say you're not, and you know, you're that E4, and you're like, damn, I just want to get out, man. I'm tired of doing duty. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. Nobody respects who I am. I want to get out. I want to go to college. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll get a trade. Don't really have a plan. What would you tell them? Like 6 months out, a year out? I mean, what was the biggest thing of advice you would give them?
Yeah, I mean, I would truthfully sit down, ask them to sit down and close their eyes and ask themselves, what makes them happy? What makes them feel fulfilled? And to understand simply that the skills, even after 2 or 3 years, the skills that they've adopted and acquired in those few short years will enable them to be successful in whatever that fulfillment and purpose they find is, whether it's just being a dad, whether it's being a successful businessman or entrepreneur, or just a member of a team. They have all of those skills, sometimes even as short as 10 weeks of basic training. Trial by fire, you know, like they've figured some stuff out. I talk about it pretty regularly and had to figure out this little elevator pitch because I was a drill sergeant, but I used to tell them, privates, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what values you think you might've shown up to this door with. Erase it. That's my job. Take it, put it away. I'm going to give you 7 Army values. I'm going to issue them the answers to the test. If you make every decision based on those 7 Army values, 90% of the time you're going to be correct. The other 10% is muscle memory, and I'm going to give you that too. You just got to listen. But that little bit right there that they absorb in those first 10 weeks, learning those 7 Army values, that little bit is what I think civilians all understand and assume of veterans. Mm-hmm. When they close their eyes and they thank a veteran, or they trust a veteran, or they inherently want to give back to a veteran, it's because they assume and understand that every veteran has that. And that sets all of us light years ahead of, I mean, think about it. We get that, let's say we all enter out of high school. We all got that at 18 years old, hypothetically. A normal civilian projecting through a normal career plan or career path may get those 7 values instilled in them along the way at some point. Maybe just a few, maybe 1 or 2, but rarely do you, you know, starting as a greeter at Walmart, working maybe you're all the way to a CEO position for some crazy reason. Maybe you've learned and perfected and truly understand those 7 values. Maybe you've adopted your own, but rarely can you look at an entire demographic of humans and trust that they understand how to be a good person and be a quality member of a team and impactful to an entire community. So I would
You brought up a good point with the maybe the civilian will. And that's true. I mean, and you learn all these values regardless of, you know, you came in like the 90s and left in the 2000s like me or whatever. There's always part of me that's defined by that experience. And that was formed with that. And I dig it, man. And I like this idea, and I like this whole idea of FitOps really expanding it out and bringing people of like-minded backgrounds and kind of saying, hey, you know what? We're going to rebuild you in a different way using the same of the greatest fundamentals that you've all learned from whatever you branch you have. Because that's the other thing too, is it's not just all Army people. It's almost like you're on a task force now, and everybody's kind of learning what everybody else, you're getting the best of everything. So let's talk about FitOps phase 2. Now you have the campus, and what's the next thing, and how can we support you all?
Truthfully, where we're at right now, unfortunately, COVID obviously derailed our traditional operations. Bringing 36 people from across the country into one spot wouldn't have been the best PR move. But we're in the final phases of getting our doors back open. Matt, for 6 years now almost, has been popping around the country, hosting camps as targets of opportunity. And we finally have a home. And once construction's complete, we'll open our doors to nonstop year-round camps. Supporting us, the best way you can support us is to get the message out there, to hopefully grab onto every veteran across the country and at least introduce the concept of a purpose-driven life. And that's at a core mission, to empower veterans by providing an opportunity to have a purpose-driven life through the power of fitness. That's the mission. If all of us had purpose and found that purpose through a shared experience of being a veteran, we would have no problems. So go to www.fitops.org. If you feel called to donate, click the big donate button. If you're a veteran or you know a veteran that needs this in their lives, hit apply now. It's that easy. If you want to talk with me about stuff, at the Harrison Johnson, hit me up. I just want to share the word and share the power of community and a purpose-driven life.
Yeah, I think, man, you brought up a great point about the shared experience. Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people miss the most when they get out. It's mm-hmm. the brotherhood, the sisterhood, but what did you do together? What did you share? Was that experience bad, good, whatever? Because all of it, it doesn't matter if it was that. Sometimes those bad experiences are what really brings people together. Yeah. And we're not talking about like, hey, you know what, you got blown up by an IED. That's bad experience. But we're talking about like, you know, the suck experience. Let's just get completely drained out. And man, I really like FitOps. I like what you guys are doing. That's why I like to have Matt on before and talking. And I look forward to really following all you guys.
Well, I appreciate the support.
Thanks, brother.
Of course.